Welcome to the Fandom Menace Show with your host, Anthony Ergo, aka Ruin of the Man Baby.
Welcome to another episode of the Fandom Menace Show, and today we have a different type of guest, really. So far we've had mainly people from within the Fandom Menace, and although some of us have different views, generally we all agree that, you know, we love the original trilogy. We're not so keen on a lot of the Disney stuff. But as you know, I've always wanted to get on some different voices, and maybe someone who isn't part of the Fandom Menace, and maybe someone who does appreciate some of the content that Disney's putting out, to get that alternative opinion. And I cast out the net. I asked for some suggestions, and this guy's name came up a few times, and he was good enough to come on and join us. And I'd like to welcome to the show That Junk Man. How are you doing, Junk?
Doing good. Really glad you have me. It's really good because I've reached out to some of you guys also saying, hey, why are y'all only one-sided all the time? Can't you have some other people on? So it's good to know there. Some of you guys out there will have other guests on.
I always say there's room for all opinions and all views, and I'm never going to convince you certain things I think, and likewise, you won't do the same for me, but we can discuss it, and we can, you know, we can air our views and we can listen to each other. And it's a shame. Maybe, you know, when it's on Twitter and so on, it's easier just to blast tweets to each other. But yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. I've got a few things that I want to go through with you. Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of the Fandom Menace already know you from Twitter, because we were just chatting briefly before we hit the record button, and you actually interact with a lot of the Fandom Menace. So you kind of straddle, I guess, both sides of the fandom. Is that fair?
Yeah, well, I think I get banned by the other side. The side that agrees with me bans me a lot more.
Really?
You guys are the most friendliest people I talk to. And then the other side, if I say one negative thing, they're like, oh, I thought you were on our side. Ban.
Oh, dear. My observation is that there is a hell of a lot of blocking goes on the other half of the fandom. And, you know, look, that's their right to do that. But I know sort of recently, and I think you did fall victim to this, although he might have righted that wrong, but I know Pablo Hidalgo went on a bit of a mass block spree, and I think you were one of the ones he blocked as well. Is that right?
He blocked me, and then I tweeted about it and actually got a lot of replies, and then I went back and looked and I was unblocked, but he's still on private. So apparently he must have saw that. No reason to unblock me, but why? If it's on private, why unblock me anyway? It made no sense.
Yeah, strange. He's he seems to do these things periodically. Old Pablo, he'll kind of, you know, close down his Twitter and then reopen it and clear his follower list. And yeah, I don't know. But
yeah, I know he disappeared a while back there, about a year ago too.
So. Yeah, but no, that's interesting what you're saying. And you know, we have to be realistic. We've got idiots on both sides of the fandom. But yeah, I'd like to think on our half that, yeah, we don't block. We might disagree sometimes very passionately. Generally, yeah, we don't block, and it's a shame that the other half do block so easily.
I do a lot of some say it's trolling, where I'll make fun of you guys, and I'll make fun of myself, and I'll make fun of those that like the movies. And it seems like y'all have the most take the humor better than the other side. But it is fun to rile you guys up. I can tweet something stupid about how Rose is the best written character in Star Wars, and I just sit back and love the replies.
You know, it took me a while to kind of get what you were doing, and then one day the penny dropped, and I thought, I get it. He's just putting it out there and just, you know, waiting for the bomb to explode. And yeah, we let's just say we got some very passionate people on our side of the fandom, and I think you know exactly what tweets to drop to rile everyone up.
I just can't believe people are replying to it and taking it in anger. I mean, I did one that says, although I know you guys hate the new movies, but I'm sure we can all agree that Rose is the best written character ever in Star Wars. And it was just people just upset, like, took it seriously.
God. But look, the one thing I wanted to start with is, and I actually think you retweeted it when we announced that you're going to be on the show, it's the interaction you had with Rian Johnson. You actually had, you put a tweet out. Yeah, you know where you
I found that today. I don't. I just. I was searching Junkman and Troll just to see what would come up. And yours was the first one. When you called me a brown nose.
I did call you a brown nose junk. Yeah. So what it was, you tweeted basically kind of tried to find the origins of the man baby insult. It's, you know, it's the thing which has given my Twitter handle its name. And Ryan Johnson actually responded to your tweet, didn't he?
He replies to a lot of them, believe it or not. I picked on Mike Zero one time, and it started a whole avalanche of, and he replied to it. And so he replies quite a bit, surprisingly. Oh, he's on Twitter a lot.
Well, tell me more about the Mike Zero then, because obviously there was the infamous tweet that Ryan Johnson put out about Mike Zero, where he mentioned about he uses his name, you know, as a turn of phrase almost.
Yeah, I started that.
Oh, really?
There was some news out, and I said, don't worry, this is some Mike Zero type of news. And he replied back, and then we went back and forth a couple of times. That's when he brought up that they used his name around the office or something. And it's been about 2 years ago, so I don't really remember exactly. But then everyone you guys picked up on it, and I've got the comic artist pro, Ethan, did like a whole video making fun of me and stuff. I was like, man, what happened? It was pretty fun.
So I never knew that. I never knew that you were the origin of the Mike Zero controversy. This is all news to me. So yeah, going back to that stuff, so I've pulled the tweet up. So your tweet was, you posted a screenshot of Ryan Johnson's "What We Talk About When We Talk About Man Babies," and your tweet said, "This is, as far as I can find, on the whole, Ryan Johnson called people that didn't like The Last Jedi man babies." They took this tweet and said, it means if you don't like a movie, Ryan called you a man baby. That's it. That's what triggered some fans. And Ryan Johnson responded to that and said, and this is what makes me laugh, he said, "It's also funny that the context really gets mentioned. This tweet was the morning the news broke that Kelly had been driven off Instagram by racist trolls." So, well, in the one hand, he's saying, why doesn't everyone just calm down here, you know, and understand the context? And then he finishes off by saying, but they're all a load of racist trolls. It's it's typical Ryan Johnson. But let's cut to the chase, because the reason I've got you on is because you are certainly much more than we are a pro Disney, or certainly a pro The Last Jedi.
Well, who is it?
do you want me to list them? We could be here a while.
Genuinely, it 100 times.
Genuinely, you tell me what your experience was. You went to see it and you enjoyed it from the first viewing. Did it take a few viewings? What was your first experience in the movie?
I'll be honest with you, it's not the best Star Wars movie. I'm not going to sit here and say that. I've seen people on Twitter say it's better than Empire Strikes Back, and I don't know if they're just trying to troll too or what, but it's out of the new movies, it's not the best new movie either. So I'm not sitting here saying I love it and it's the perfect film and all that. I enjoyed it. Yeah, there were some things I wish they did differently, and there's some things I really hated during it, but overall, I just liked it. I enjoyed my time seeing it. And when I first saw it, I thought it was too much humor. The humor really threw me off. I think it's one reason I don't like Marvel movies is because of that cheesy humor it has. And that's kind of what I felt watching this. A second time, that didn't bother me as much. And then by the third time, I think I started to appreciate it a little bit more. But to be honest with you, it's not one that I've gone back and watched over and over again. Let's say like some of the like Force Awakens, I can watch it anytime.
Yeah, so this is where a lot of the Phantom Menace actually disagrees with each other. So I originally really liked The Force Awakens. I was fully on board, really enjoyed that movie. It wasn't really until The Last Jedi that I've kind of fallen out of love with it. And it's really because I know what comes next. You know, I guess I could still watch Force Awakens, but I know where it's going. You know, that final epic scene of Luke, you know, and Rey, I kind of know what comes next. I know that he's going to toss that lightsaber over his shoulder. So, yeah, that's my feelings on it. But a lot of people within the Phantom Menace are really against The Force Awakens. They had problems with it from the start. They feel it was a complete rehash of A New Hope. And, you know, they they've got no love for JJ any more than they do Ryan Johnson. And obviously then that leads us into to episode 9. I mean, being someone who's more open-minded, shall we say, to what Disney are putting out there, what are your feelings right now?
I'm not as excited as I should be, but I am getting excited about it. But that's just because, I mean, even with the prequels, by the third one, I was like, okay, let's get this over with. Although, I mean, not to say I don't like it. It's just, I haven't seen that much for it. So it's going to take me a little while. I'm more hyped for The Mandalorian right now. So,
yeah, me too.
If the trailer drops soon, so I'll be more hyped up for it.
So you're not a prequel fan then?
I never was a prequel basher.
Okay.
I never was. I can watch it. I can enjoy it for what they are. They're not what, you know, I don't know how old you are, but I grew up with the originals. So I waited 16 years to see the prequels. And I was like, this is what I waited for. Jar Jar Binks doing fart jokes. So I'm not a fan of it, but I don't bash that either. I just, you know, I can find stuff I like about it and I can sit and watch it.
Yeah, we're probably sort of the same generation. I was born the year Star Wars came out, 77. So, yeah, the one movie that I relate most to is the Return of the Jedi, because that was the one where I was at the peak age to be able to go and watch it at the cinema and so on. But like you, I had that long wait for the prequels and, you know, watched them all at the movies multiple times. They didn't blow me away, if I'm honest, like the originals did at the time. But I guess over time, I've come to appreciate them.
I feel like I'm in a circle here, because it's like in the early 2000s, I was defending the prequels and everybody hated them. And now everybody loves the prequels and I'm defending the new stuff. So I'm guessing in 20 years, everybody will love the new stuff.
But this is the question. Do you honestly think that'll be the case? Do you honestly think there'll be a moment, whether it's 10, 20 years, wherever it may be, where the fans like me and like a lot of people in the fandom menace, and you know how passionate we get about this, do you honestly think they may reach a point in the future where will mellow slightly?
Because you're going to see a lot of bad stuff between now and then that Disney's going to do with Star Wars.
Well, that's one way of looking at it.
And you're going to say, damn, well, I thought that new stuff was bad.
So it'll just look good by virtue of the fact it's not as bad as all the other crap that they're putting out. Okay.
Well, I think there's a lot of kids that's growing up with it today that's going to enjoy it. Like, I think a lot of people that love the prequels is because they saw the prequels when they were, I don't want to sound like Freddie Prinze Jr., but they saw the prequels when they were a kid.
Yeah. I've had other guests on the podcast who, you know, younger generations, and as we grew up with the originals, they grew up with the prequels, and they've got a stronger bond to those movies. So, yeah, maybe that's the way. But, you know, it's slightly concerning, though, isn't it, when you look at things like, you know, the merch sales, and maybe it's what I'm being exposed to. You're a massive toy geek, if you don't mind me saying that. I know a lot of, you know, some of the stuff I've watched on your YouTube channel and so on. I love all the vintage toys and stuff. But what are you seeing out there in terms of the current movies, you know, compared to what we had in the past with the originals or even the prequels? I mean, can you see that kind of decline in the merch that's being produced and the toys?
Yeah, I mean, I see a decline, but also see a decline in movie action figures are on a decline.
Okay.
And I see the same problem that Hasbro did with Star Wars when the prequels came out. They overproduced, overshipped. And, you know, the Phantom Menace toys were so bad that Hasbro closed down Kenner because the sales of the Phantom Menace toys were so horrible. And it's not that, well, the sales were okay, but they just mass produced this stuff. And and I think like the Rose figure everywhere, everybody's seen a Rose figure. And I think they overproduced that because it was the Where's Rey figure when they held that one back for a while. So they just said, hey, let's make a ton of this and ship it out there.
Yeah, there's something to be said, isn't it, about, you know, rather than overproduction, actually making stuff a bit more sort of limited. I think they did it quite well with the Black Series when they originally launched that line.
I could go an hour about how horrible Hasbro is. So, but now I think they're scared to overproduce. So now the stores are getting like five each. So now I can't find a Mandalorian Black Series.
Yeah, it's they just don't seem to have the balance right. And the thing, the other thing I'm hearing, and you'll be probably more closely in touch with this. Am I right to say that they're kind of phasing out the classic 3¾ figure? Is that right?
I think the figure is the same. I don't keep up with it. It's on the vintage card, collection stand. But the one with the five POA, that one's went away. And that's the one that you see on clearance all the time. That's why I don't understand people complaining about it. I said, well, that's the one y'all all complaining that's on clearance and nobody wants.
The thing I loved about growing up with the Star Wars toys was they just seemed the perfect size, that 3¾-inch figure. You know, it wasn't too small like a Lego man or something that it was, you know, really fiddly, but it wasn't so big as an Action Man were.
Well, the vintage figures are the same size. The vintage collection, they just have more joints in them, which I never cared for the joints. I was good if an arm didn't move. But
you seem to have all these strange variants in sizes. Like you've got some of them which are about 3 feet high. You've got others which are about 6 inches. And you know, you've got all these strange sizes toys, whereas originally it was just the 3¾. And it, you know, the experience of playing was that much easier. Whereas now I'm imagining kids, like they've got these, you know, Black Series 3¾, and then they've got this 6-inch Stormtrooper, and then they've got a 3-foot Kylo Ren. It must make for an unusual play scene. But
I don't know. I see about the Black Series and stuff. I don't know how many kids are buying those. But I got a friend that buys the Marvel stuff, and I was like, I can't get in them Marvel toys. Well, I don't like Marvel too much, but they're just so big and bulky. I was like, they don't look like toys.
Yeah, it's something's gone wrong definitely on the merch side of it, and you can almost separate it from the movies. I don't think it's necessarily directly related to you know, what the movies are doing well or not. I just think this.
But let's be honest too. There's, if you're a kid and you like Force Awakens and you bought a Rey and you bought a Kylo and you bought a Finn, The Last Jedi, those three figures are coming back out. They look about the same. So why do you care about buying another one?
Yes, and that is a great observation, because when you compare that to the originals, I mean, just take the first movie on its own. You had farm boy Luke, and then you had X-Wing pilot Luke, and then moving through the films, you had all these distinctive looks, Hoth Luke, obviously Jedi Luke, Endor Luke, all these variants. It was fantastic. But you're right, Rey, I mean, even from what we've seen from the footage of Episode 9, her look is not really changing at all. So yeah, it's essentially the same Rey in appearance throughout the three films. Maybe Poe's changing, he's going for this kind of more desert appearance, but that's a really good observation. Yeah.
If you're a kid and you got, you know, $5 to buy a figure or $10, and you see a Rey that looks a little different or clothes is a little different, or you see this whole other toy line that's completely different, why buy Rey if you got one that looks close enough?
Well, some of us would say, why buy Rey? Full stop, Gunkman. But, well, look, this is the other thing I want to ask you, because you are in a bit of a unique position. Like I say, you kind of you straddle between the two halves of the fandom, and there's no doubt about it, the fandom is in a bad place at the moment. Do you think it can be healed?
Oh, yeah, just one great movie that 90% of us all can agree on. And I think all is forgiven.
Well, yeah, I mean, but can that happen? Do you think, I mean, from what you can see, the roadmap of movies, the one I'm thinking, although sadly I think it's just been consigned to Disney Plus, but the one that virtually everyone within the fandom has been calling out for is the Obi-Wan movie, but I believe that's now going to be a TV series on Disney Plus.
Yeah, TV series on Disney Plus. And I think just one season, I think they said. It's not only one season.
Yeah. I just found that so bizarre, because you had Ewan McGregor, you know, very openly saying he was willing to reprise the role. You had almost the entire fandom saying, give us an Obi-Wan film. But for whatever reason, Disney was announcing all these other different projects and just overlooking it. I mean, they've announced it now, but I'd love to see it in the theatres, I think.
I mean, I could see that, but also, I mean, think about it. You can get a 2-hour movie, you can get a 12-hour television show that's, you know, that can really do an in-depth story more. So I'm okay with the Obi-Wan. But I think Han Solo,
that's fair.
I think the Solo movie scared them a lot.
Yes. What did you make of that out of interest? Because I know you said you like some of the Disney stuff, others less so. Where did Solo fit into that?
I like The Force Awakens the best. Solo's really close to it. Okay. I'll be honest with you. I took my son to see it, and he loved it. Uh-huh. So maybe that's okay. Part of it. He's a Harrison Ford fan. He told me when it was over that he never knew Han Solo was so cool until he saw Solo. So I don't know if it'd be heard or not. I was like, okay, he's good, but he's no Harrison Ford.
You've got no idea how many people are screaming at this podcast right now.
Yeah, I didn't know how to feel about it when he told me that. So I'm glad he enjoyed the movie, but
come on. Solo doesn't tend to be viewed favorably within this.
Well, I'll tell you the worst one, and everybody get mad at me.
Go on.
And that's Rogue One.
So Rogue One for you is the worst.
It's good. It's okay. But after I saw it three times, I was like, I cannot sit through this anymore. That first hour or so was just so dull. I say, why do you like it? 9 out of 10 people say, oh, it has a good Vader scene or the end of it. I was like, well, you need more than that. Just everybody brings up the end battle. That's all they talk about.
Yeah, I mean, I might say on record in previous podcasts saying Rogue One is my favorite of everything Disney's produced. So we're complete opposites there. But I'm also on record saying the first third had its problems. I didn't like the way it kind of really early on where you're trying to get a feel for the movie. It kind of flitted from scene to scene, planet to planet. It didn't really establish, you know, a nice narrative.
Yeah, I don't care about any of the characters in it. I didn't really. Interesting at all. I'd rather see Haldo in a movie. I mean, they were okay. They were just plain and generic, and I just didn't care at all. But
well, there we go. That's why you're the junk man, and you sit in this no man's land.
I think that's another thing that gets me is that I see all these people that hate The Last Jedi, and then they'll talk about how great Rogue One is.
I'm a sucker for the Vader scene, I have to admit. And
I love that whole battle, and I love the Vader scene. It's just all that leading up to it, which is, again, I like the movie, but it's just I can't go back and watch it like the prequels. I can sit there and rewatch them all, but that one I feel like, okay, I've seen it. So maybe in a few years I can go back and start watching it again.
Yeah, and you know, maybe that is the true sign of a great film, the rewatchability factor. And, you know, when we take the original trilogy, don't know about you, but I've watched them hundreds of times. And, yeah, maybe that's really the true sign of a great movie.
Even the prequels. If the prequels are on and I walk by a TV, it'll catch my attention and I have to watch it. And I think The Force Awakens would do that too. Rogue One wouldn't do it. And I'll be honest, Last Jedi, I tried to watch Last Jedi a couple weeks ago, and I was like, I just can't bring myself to watch it. I don't know if it's all the – I talk about it so much, but I did like it. But it's just like I just need a break from it because I think I've talked about it so much.
You heard it first, Phantom Menace. He's edging ever closer. Well, okay, on the subject of The Last Jedi, because this is obviously something I'm quite keen to talk about with you. So I've made a quick list – before the podcast of probably the five main areas that I find the most problematic. And I'd like to run them by you, and then you tell me if you had a problem or if you thought it was fine or even if you enjoyed those elements. You know, it'd be really good to kind of bounce them off here. Is that cool with you?
Yeah, that's good.
Cool. Okay. So roughly in order of probably important, starting with the least important. Now, I've got a feeling you might agree on this one because I think you mentioned it just earlier. The humor in the movie, right from the off, it felt misplaced, didn't feel like Star Wars humor, you know, the dad jokes, the prank call. And you could even roll into that the ridicule of Finn. You know, he wakes up in the back of the tank, bangs his head, walks around, water leaking all over the place.
It bothered me the first time, but the second time, maybe because I knew it was coming, it didn't bother me. And then I saw it again. I saw it like four times in the theater. And by the third time, I was like, okay, maybe I was overreacting to all that.
But okay.
It is cringy humor a lot of times. Like I said, that's why I really can't stand most of the Marvel movies. And that's one of the main reasons of the cringy humor. But people, you guys seem to love it in Marvel, but Star Wars doesn't rip it apart.
For me, it seems to work within the Marvel universe better because it It just has a different feel. Marvel just
I can see that because you got, you have all the serious movies or the one without much humor, and then Last Jedi bangs it right in your face. But
yeah,
I don't get that Marvel stuff.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest problem. You know, it just and you know, not to say there shouldn't be any humor in Star Wars. I mean, you know,
no, Empire's pretty funny when you really think about it.
Yeah, there's some great humor, especially with, you know, R2 and C3 and Chewie and so on. But yeah, it's the placement of humor and how it can detract from what could be a, you know, really tense scene. But anyway, that was my number five. But obviously, something you're happy or were willing to overlook after a few viewings.
I'm okay with it, but I hope I don't see it much more.
Okay.
I hope the next movie is funny. That's what I'm saying.
We shall see. So the number four on my list then, now this is the big controversial one, Reylo. Now, I know some people say this may have had its roots in The Force Awakens, but I think it was definitely ramped up in The Last Jedi with the whole, you know, Force this time.
This is where you get me banned from the people on my side. I hate that term. I will not say that term.
Oh, it's right. So are you anti-Reylo then?
I act like I don't even know what, when people bring it up, I say, I don't know who that character is. That's what I say every time. I mean, I don't care if Rey gets together with Kylo. I guess if they can work that out and make it believable, okay. But I just hate that the way they put the two names together and then people get all drawn pictures of them. I just can't deal with it.
Yeah, look, we can be in total agreement on that one, because it just seems to have spawned this section of the fan base which is just obsessed with the idea of...
Yeah, I only see it on Twitter. I don't hear about it anywhere else but on Twitter.
Okay.
The places where I go. So it's just so odd because I don't hear, you know, friends in real life that I talk to about Star Wars never bring it up. But maybe it's because we're all 40-something-year-old men.
Yeah, it does seem to be this kind of weird cult, but it's there's certainly some scenes in The Last Jedi which just fed into that.
So was that your question? Because I think I interrupt you when you were asking.
No, that was it.
You said that word and it was so cringy. I just
the word alone just set you off. No, that was it.
I hate the Phantom Menace. I mean the Fandom Menace. I hate hearing that now.
You hate the fan.
I hate that y'all named yourself after the worst Star Wars movie ever made. So I think it's kind of a joke in itself.
My favorite part of the phrase the Fandom Menace is when our detractors say, "Oh well, they're obviously all haters because they've got the word menace in the name." I'm just, you know, we're all just looking at each other going, have they ever seen Star Wars? But, it's a bit of wordplay, kind of, you know. Yeah, it was something I only really discovered personally after The Last Jedi. You know, I guess, and it was only born after The Last Jedi, and it's, but there we go. So I'm sure all the listeners were right on board with you, Junkman, with the Reylo thing, and then you had to... You had to slate the Fandom Menace.
I got to get both sides to hate me.
That's what you do best. Okay. Moving on then. Third on my list is the plot. And I'm talking things like the slow space chase, the pointless Canto Bight subplot, you know, various other elements. So what did you make of those things? The space chase, the Canto Bight?
I hate the whole casino part.
Oh, okay.
I'll be honest with you. That can just be taken out of the movie and thrown away. That's the part I'm watching. I can just run it on past. So, but the slow chase doesn't bother me at all. I didn't even realize it was a slow chase until I saw people on Twitter yelling about it. And then it hit me. But it seemed like he was just dragging it out like a cat and mouse, where, yeah, he could have got him wanted to, but he's kind of just toying with them. That's how I took it. But apparently, according to you guys, I was wrong about that.
Yeah, I think, you know, it ties into the whole concept of fuel, which I know is, you know, people have argued it's been introduced in other areas, but a movie has to exist on its own. And yeah, all of a sudden we're presented with this concept of running out of fuel. And I guess maybe his intention was, I have to think of this sometimes as a writer, you know, what what was the thinking behind it? I think what Ryan Johnson might have been going for was creating a bit of tension, but I actually think the end result was the opposite. I think it's effectively just got two ships kind of drifting through space looking at each other. But if it didn't stand out to you, that's fine. But we agree on Canto Bight. That's
and I think it didn't stand out to a lot of people until they went on YouTube or online and heard other people complain about it. And then they're like, they're seeing the other side. Seems a lot of yeah, I agree now that you pointed it out.
Well, look, it's been broken down into its minutiae, the Last Jedi, and it's one thing, you know, the fandom menace. I know you hate the phrase, but it's one thing that they're really good at doing.
I will use it, unlike that other word I'm not even going to say.
The R word. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not even going to say it.
You need to have a word with Steele Saunders, who seems to be pushing for this concept.
Don't get me started.
I thought you were buddies with Steele.
Oh, we had our beef. Him and Jason Ward, they doxed me. They put my personal Facebook out there on Twitter. They said I was acting like a teenage girl online to do something. I don't know. And they did this whole, it's about 3 years ago. They got me kicked off my own podcast. So don't get me started on them too.
Well, look, this is something we have in common then, because, as you may know, I had a similar experience with Brian Young. But, this is where it just gets ridiculously nasty, isn't it? Because, I've ever done on Twitter, and I know it upsets some people, is just have a bit of fun.
I don't take it that serious like some of them do.
Yeah, of course not. Of course not. It's parody, it's satire, and a bit of fun.
The Steel War thing was odd because it wasn't about the movies. He did an interview. I think he interviewed Kathleen Kennedy, and I did a video, used a sample of it. Put a description in the description. I put a link to his channel, but he said I didn't give him enough credit for it. I only had like 200 views, and he went off on a Twitter rant, sent me an email, cussed me out, and we went back and forth. And then at that same time, you know Jason Ward, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then at the same time, his wife was attacking Rebel Force Radio, I think.
Yeah, I remember this. Yeah.
Oh, I made a comment about her, and that set him off. And then she found an old tweet where I said, "Now get this, this is some hard stuff here. You might get upset when you hear what I said."
Okay.
I said in the original Kenner Star Wars line, you know how they gave them weird names like Walrus Man.
Yes.
I said Rancor Keeper. I'm surprised they didn't call Rancor Keeper Topplehead. And she went off and told me and tried to get people to ban me off Twitter and report me for hate speech. That's when I went over her, and then Jason jumped in.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
I don't like none of that crowd.
Yeah, they're a particularly nasty bunch. I mean, on the surface, they like to make out they're this really friendly bunch of people. But yeah, I never knew that. I never knew you'd had that level of issue with them. I didn't know you'd been doxxed like that. So I am sorry to hear that, my man. But
it's okay. Nobody did nothing with the information. Nobody cared enough, I don't think. But still, was like, why would you do that? I didn't know.
No, that's ridiculous. I mean, to not give credit is one thing, but then to not give enough credit just sounds absolutely
I've got 100,000 subscribers on it. And this was, now I've got like 11,000, but then I had like 500 maybe, and that video maybe had 200 views.
That's pathetic.
So I did take down the video, and I redid it with my little stuffed Wampa reading his doing a transcript of it.
nice way around it. Okay, let me round off my list then, because we're getting to the top two now. Space Leia scene and the kind of general handling of Carrie. Defend that if you dare, junk man.
Tough questions here. I don't have a problem with the scene itself. I have a very big problem with how it looked. I think if it just looked better, I think a lot of people would be more accepting to it. If it just looks horrible, and that's one. It's like watching the special edition where some of that horrible stuff just pulls you out of the movie. That's how I felt about it. That is probably the worst scene in the movie to me, that Leia scene, just because of how it looks.
I think what he was going for is, really big emotional pull on the heartstrings. You think of the music that was used and the way that scene panned out. And I know it quite quite clearly because I did some Star Wars is Better with Titanic music videos recently, and I watched that scene a lot of times. Yeah, for me, it was the other problem I had with it was it seemed to come out of nowhere that the fact that Leia suddenly had this incredible power to survive in space. So that was definitely an issue. But yeah, that whole scene was a bit of a mess. And then last but not least, this is the interesting one because I know you are. I think you may have different opinions to us on the whole character, Luke, but the treatment of Luke Skywalker in The Last Jedi. So what did you make of that?
The best part of the movie. The best part of the movie.
Classic junk, man. So yeah, you are genuinely you're not a fan of Luke.
No, I like Luke, and I mean, I like him. I was always a Han Solo guy more, but Luke's always been kind of a jerk, and he was a jerk in this movie.
Well, we can agree on that. Yeah, I mean, so not such an issue for you then, because you're not so close to the character.
I mean, Luke Skywalker is the type of guy that would do anything at all for his friends, right? Can we agree on that?
Absolutely. Okay.
So if he feels that him being there is hurting his friends and making stuff worse, then he's going to leave. And that, I mean, I'm not saying he's right, but that's how he felt inside. So I can understand why he left, because he thought that he was doing more harm staying there.
I could give you that for a matter of weeks or months, but years. Years to
well,
just...
Well, we are talking about Luke Skywalker here. He's not the brightest.
Oh, that's such a low blow.
But still, I liked his character. I didn't want to go into it seeing Yoda from The Empire Strikes Back. I didn't want to see that. I feel like we've seen Yoda. I don't want to see Luke as the Yoda of the series.
Yeah, I understand that. Yeah, you didn't want to just see him take on this mentor role. And yeah, I get that. Yeah.
And I told people since The Force Awakens, I said, Luke is not going to have a lightsaber. He's not going to be fighting Kylo Ren, not in some epic big fight. And they were, oh, no, he's coming back. He's got his green saber. He's going to be kicking ass. And I said, so maybe, I think there's a lot of people that hype themselves up for the return of Luke Skywalker. And maybe because I was like, no, he's going to be a boring character because these movies are going to focus on the new people, that I wasn't let down by Luke Skywalker not doing anything.
One thing that frustrates me is that this perception that the people within the Phantom Menace all wanted Luke. Look, Rian Johnson makes a joke of it in the movie itself where he says, I think Luke says the line, you know, what did you expect, that I'd pull out my laser sword and take on the First Order? You know, it's almost what a lot of people think that's what we wanted in the Phantom Menace, but I don't necessarily think we had that expectation or even that's what we did want. But what we definitely didn't want is to see the character most of us have loved for decades become a suicidal hermit on an island.
You don't want him to become like every other Jedi and run off like Yoda and Obi-Wan.
I can't accept that he'd do that forever. And another problem I've got is for a guy who wants to die, he does an awful lot of things to keep himself alive, like the like the fishing and those other things. I mean, if he really did want to die, he could have probably got that over and done with pretty quickly, actually. But anyway, so many things.
I think he wanted to kill himself, but he wanted to be natural causes.
Yeah, stop bloody fishing then. Those big damn fish and drinking that goddamn milk.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I would have loved to have gone to these movies and saw the return of Han, Luke, and Leia teaming up together.
Yeah,
you know, like Heir to the Empire or something. I would have loved that. But, you know, I can't judge a movie for what they didn't do. I have to judge it on what it did do.
That is fair. Okay, well, look, I think we probably got slightly more in common than I expected as we went through that, but
no. I thought we were going to argue.
See, this is the misconception everyone thinks, because I'm Ruin the Man Baby on Twitter. I'm this antagonist, but no, couldn't be further from the truth. It's time for the Man Baby Challenge. Hello, man babies. Ruin Johnson here, and we have a very special guest today. We have that junkman. He's that some would say he's a shill, some would say he's a man baby. Well, We're about to find out because he's about to take the Man Baby Challenge. So, Junkman, it's 10 questions all on The Last Jedi, and we know you're a bit of a fan of The Last Jedi. So, are you ready for this, Junkman?
I'm ready to try.
Okay, here we go. So, question one. Complete this line. I've seen this raw strength only once before, and was it A, it didn't scare me enough then, it does now, or was it B, it was a long time ago before the Jedi? You're going for A, and you are correct. You're correct. You're one for one. Question two. Lesson three is the name of a song on the Last Jedi soundtrack. Is it A, true, or B, false?
Sounds corny enough to be true.
You going for true?
I get that one right?
You're wrong, I'm afraid. It's false. Of course, Jungman, there was no lesson three in the goddamn movie. Oh, Ray only got two lessons. But the interestingly, bit of trivia for you here, Jungman. There is a song on the soundtrack called Lesson One. So there we go. So it's not a million miles away. So you're one out of two so far. Question three. How many Praetorian guards were in the throne room? Was it A6 or B8?
B.
You're going for B, and it's correct. Question four. Where were the Krayt salt planet scene shot? So where in the world? Was it A, Bulgaria, or B, Bolivia?
Man,
really testing your knowledge here.
A. I'm just picking one.
It's wrong.
I'm a man, baby.
Ironically, you're perfectly divided between Shill and Man Baby at the moment, so it's exactly where you are in the real world. So, question five, is Kylo Ren's scar across his eye or between his eyes?
Can I look at a toy?
Oh, dear. One near me. I should have known.
I don't have one near me. He's got a mask on. Okay, that's across the eye.
Is correct. Well done. That was a bit of a trick question because in The Force Awakens, his scar was actually between his eyes, and then they moved it slightly to make him look more menacing. But we didn't trick you.
No, they moved it to upset the Phantom Menace.
Of course they did. We're so easily triggered. That's why. But you got that one right. So you're three out of five. Question six. What is The Last Jedi's runtime? Is it A, 2 hours 23, or B, 2 hours 33?
Oh, I got to make them so close. A.
You're going for A? It was B. It was 2 hours 33. It was one of the longest, I think, if not the longest movie to date. So you're three right, three wrong. You're perfectly balancing between the dark and the light. Question seven. How much screen time does Yoda have? Was it 2 minutes, 5 seconds, or 4 minutes, 5 seconds?
Oh, man, this is a tough one. That was going to be about the movie. A.
Old Junkman getting worked up because he doesn't know the answers. He's gone for A. He's correct. Well done, you got it right. So you're moving on now. Question eight. What are Luke's first words to Rey? Is it A, who are you? Or is it B, what do you want?
This one I should know. A.
You've gone for who are you is correct. You're now cooking on oil. You've got that's five out of eight.
I don't know if it's good to win or to lose. I can't figure out what I'm trying to do.
Well, just to give you an insight, a lot of the man babies who join me on this podcast and the Fandom Menace, they prefer to lose to prove that they don't know anything about The Last Jedi because it was a god awful film. Whereas you may prefer to flex your knowledge. So anyway, you're five out of eight. You're doing well. Question nine, last couple. Which character did Brian Herring play Was it A, BB-8, or was it B, Captain Kennedy?
Never heard of this guy, so I'm going to say B.
You're going B, Captain Kennedy. It's incorrect.
Okay. What?
It was the man who's credited for BB-8 on IMDb.
How do you play BB-8? You're just a guy in a green suit running around with a stick.
Well, he gets a full credit on IMDb.
That's a puppet as, here. That's not an actor.
Okay. Take it up with IMDb. Okay, and finally, question 10. Who had more screen time? Was it DJ or was it R2-D2 and C-3PO combined?
Oh, I hate DJ. I'm going to say DJ.
You're going for DJ. It was DJ. It was DJ. He had 4 minutes 30 seconds, which was more than R2-D2 and C-3PO combined, which just about sums up The Last Jedi. So there we go. And I believe you got, let's top them up, you got 1, 2, 3, 4. You got 6 correct. 6 correct.
Yeah.
You were really, you know, towed the line between Man Baby and Shill, but you've remained true to yourself, young man. So congratulations for that.
And now it's time for the Star Wars interview.
Okay, so Junkman, to round off the show, I like to finish with a thing called the Star Wars interview. Now, you are of my generation, so you'll probably remember the James Lipton Actors Studio, where he did the interview on there. So it's my version of that, and it's really just to gauge your feelings on Star Wars. So, Junkman, this is your Star Wars interview. Who is your favorite character?
Toss up between Han and Boba, but Boba doesn't do much, so I'll say Han Solo.
Ooh, that's interesting. I'm a Boba Fett man myself. So.
Yeah, I can see that.
Who is your least favorite character?
DJ.
Oh, there we go. It's a Last Jedi character.
I give that one to y'all. Wait, hold on. Can I change that one?
You can change it. Go on.
I'll be honest here. I don't know. I forgot because I don't count her as part of the movie. Well, Ahsoka Tano. I hate Ahsoka Tano. If that's how you say it, I hate that character. Okay.
Now, you know that's going to rile up quite a lot of the fandom menace. He's a very popular character. What is your favorite scene?
My favorite scene?
Your favorite scene in the whole of Star Wars.
Ooh. That one's hard, but the first comes to mind is Luke and the others on the sail barge jumping into the Sarlacc pit before George Lucas put a beak on the Sarlacc pit.
No, I get it. So obviously you're not keen on the special edition edit of.
Some of it worked, some of it was stupid. But yeah, it takes you out of the movie. But as a kid, I saw that probably 13, 14.
Yeah.
And that whole scene of the plank and everything was just.
Yes.
You know, exciting.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Last Jedi is my favorite.
Wait, hold it. Did you just say The Last Jedi?
Sorry. I meant Return of the Jedi. Oh, no. I've been exposed. I did mean Return of the Jedi. What is your least favorite scene?
Oh, least favorite scene. That one's a little harder. I'll go back to the special edition then. The Jedi rocks.
Okay. That's a fair shout. No one's ever mentioned that before.
I'm sure they all mentioned Rose. I'm sure they all mentioned something from The Last Jedi.
Well, The Last Jedi does feature heavily as it happens, yes. But that is a very fair shout. What is your favorite weapon, ship, or vehicle? I only need one. So you can either pick a weapon, a ship, or a vehicle.
I'll do ship because everybody's probably said a lightsaber already. B-wing.
A B-wing. Oh.
Yes. Okay. See, I like to be a little different there.
Yeah, that is different. Your favorite movie? Favorite Star Wars movie?
I'm going to be the empire. Like everybody else is going to say, or 90% of everybody else.
Yeah, I'm a Return of the Jedi man, but even though Return of the Jedi is my personal favorite, I can see that Empire is
As a kid, it was Return of the Jedi, without a doubt. But then as I got older, it's like, okay, I can go back. Empire's the adult me that loves, and Empire and Jedi's the child in me loves the best, but overall it's Empire.
And what is your least favorite movie? And again, you give us your list. Was it on Namesake, was it?
Live action, yeah, The Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace. The Phantom Menace, if you don't mind. Okay, here's one for you. Which Star Wars quote, phrase, or noise do you like the best?
Uta Buddha Solo. If I said that right, that's a Southern accent saying it.
What's that from?
Greedo asking Han Solo if he's going somewhere.
Oh, okay. Nice. No, we've not had that one before. That's quite cool that you've quoted some alien dialect. Okay, last for you. What Star Wars profession would you like to attempt?
I like to be the bar cantina almost Mos Eisley. Wow.
Okay.
It'd be fun to tell those boys that they're not wanted here. You know.
Okay, I can see you doing that. Yeah.
That would be fun. I would let one droid in just to upset the other droids.
Always stirring up trouble. Okay, and what Star Wars profession would you not like to do?
Whoever cleans up Dubek shit. Has anybody said that before?
No one's ever said that before, no.
Okay. I don't know if it's a technical job, but I'm guessing somebody has to do it.
Somebody's got to do it, otherwise the place is covered in it. Yeah, okay. That's maybe they'll feature in episode 9. And finally, if Force Heaven exists, what would you like to hear Obi-Wan say when you become a Force ghost?
They were right. The one with the most toys does win.
I knew you'd bring it back to toys. Very good. That Junkman, that is your Star Wars interview. And I just want to thank you for taking part in this podcast. I put it out there. I kind of asked the Phantom Menace, who can we get on? Who can we get on who'll give a slightly different opinion? And your name cropped up and you were good enough to accept the challenge. And you've been a great guest. And actually, I think we've maybe got more in common with you and you with us than maybe people realize.
Yeah, y'all just have to lighten up a little bit.
How dare
you?
But
I want to thank you for having me on. And then anybody listening, check out my YouTube channel. You can go to thatjunkman.com there. But it's not one of the channels where I'm not going to sit here and tell you how much I love the movies. It's mostly just about the old stuff, the old toys, the old merchandise, the old movies, and try to keep everything friendly side, the love for Star Wars, although I do some rant sometime.
Yeah, look, this is where I would of course invite you to plug where people can find you. It's at That Junkman on Twitter. Most of you will know him. He's definitely worth a follow. He's a lot like Ruin the Man Baby. He's maybe slightly controversial and does like to wind people up, but he's good fun if you get what he's doing. And they can find really all of your stuff via StarWarsJunk.net. That's your web link, isn't it?
Yeah, I need to change that, but you can get there that way. But y'all just say thatjunkman.com is easier.
I pull that one off your Twitter, but thatjunkman.com, great. I'll put all the links in the podcast notes.
Some nice shirts are on sale.
I do like your Kenner shirt. I have to compliment you. I do like your Kenner shirt. So
okay, I had to get that plug in there.
Yeah, look, I want to thank you again. You've been a great guest, and I look forward to our constant interaction on Twitter.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on here. And thanks for having, because I've been to a lot of these live streams or YouTube channels where it's all just four or five people all almost in agreement about how much they hate the movie. And I think somebody have somebody else on with a different opinion. So it's nice to know you're reaching out to other people.